By downloading this Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up, you've upgraded the next 30 minutes of your life. At Melbourne Airport Parking, upgrade from the long-term car park to the at Terminal T4 car park for just $15. When you book online and park before 12 September, melbourneairport.com.au.
Hey, when we were driving to the snow the other day, one of the highlights always driving up to Mansfield or Mount Buller, well, is the Mansfield Bakery, but also when you drive through Bonnie Doon. Because, obviously, classic from the 1997 smash hit The Castle.
We're going to Bonnie Doon.
Dad had a song he used to sing about going to Bonnie Doon. Only he sang it a lot, and it was a bit repetitive.
Bonnie Doon's great. Even when I was driving through with Mum said, isn't this from? I said, yes, Mum, The Castle.
Yes, the when people come to this country and they go, oh, you got to know Australia, like what Bradman's average is. No. If you know that song, you're in.
And I remember when I was at school, one of my girlfriends, they had a place at Bonnie Doon. And I remember going, just sounds fun. Like Bonnie Doon. I want to go to Bonnie Doon.
All my mates from Yarrawonga go there grand final day and they hire a house and get on the... Got boats, obviously.
Yeah.
And they, because it's not too far from Yarra, and they go there and they all stay at
Bonnie Doon. Well, now you can. Guess what? Not only can you stay at Bonnie Doon, you can stay in the house made famous on the castle. It's been put up on Airbnb.
On
the Airbnb website, and they're actually saying this is your opportunity to go back in time and capture these moments from the film that you loved.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Outside broadcast.
We go there.
Guys, please, you can scrap and Disneyland, then, guys. Let's go.
We can just sit there and say this.
Bonnie Doon.
Dad loved Bonnie Doon. Yeah. He loved the serenity of the place.
How's the serenity?
I think he also just loved the word.
So much serenity.
If there's one thing Dad loved more than serenity, it was a two-stroke engine on full throttle.
Imagine you're sitting there, you're on the couch, and you get to sit there and go, this is where Daryl Kerrigan sat. Because when you stay somewhere or you're in a house that you know, because, you know, so, let's be honest, everyone famous or notorious lives in a house that eventually gets sold on to someone else.
Sure.
And 131060, whose house are you living in right now?
Ooh.
Or whose house have you been in?
I'd love them to put just a recording piece, like Jezza puts a recording in there for just for a week. Everyone that stayed in there, how many serenities would come in?
Oh, this for sure.
As soon as you walk
just
in.
Looking at power lines, how's the serenity?
They're like, Schnooksy, how's the serenity?
Oh, this is good. You know, I'm so happy you brought this up, though, because I remember filming up a middle Bogan, Kalang, but then being, because they're a cashed up Bogan family, like someone has to go find that house.
Yes.
And we're filming in the house and I'm like, who's put their hand up for this to go, geez, this is a cashed up Bogan house? For sure. Guys, we'll clear out of here for a couple of weeks, head down to Bonnie Doon, and then we can sell it out. So I'm always interested in who offers their house up.
Well, maybe they're listening right now. Maybe you can say, I live in the house that's on Upper Middle Bogan.
Well, someone can say that they live in all the different neighbours' houses on Ramsey Street.
Yeah, actually, you are right, because I worked on Neighbours, obviously, and
great.
I was on Ramsey Street. You would find there's a security guard that's on the actual street in Glen Waverley, and people actually live in those houses. They've got to come and go. They live in the Ramsey's house.
How many Brits would he have smashed in the face? Leave them alone. It's midnight. I know you're drunk. Get out of here.
It's so hard when you're on set because you've got to get out and then you've got to go into the house and shoot your scene.
I walked through one of the houses, actually.
Yeah, I was in one of the houses.
You were 5 seconds. You were in the Lasseter's Day Spa.
This is just turning to you two turning into Peeping Toms.
Anyway, whose house are you living in?
Whose house have you lived in?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The iconic Bonnie Doon house that was made famous in The Castle by Daryl Kerrigan is now on Airbnb. You can go and stay there and experience the serenity firsthand, which got us asking the question, whose house are you living in now? Come on, it's your claim to fame. It's your dinner party story. You get to say, or maybe you have stayed in a house that was somehow associated with somebody famous. Sarah from Brookfield. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you all?
Yeah, good. Sarah, whose house are you living in?
I've actually just went to visit and stayed there and also worked there, but it's the house that Nina lives in Offspring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did you end up staying there, Sarah?
The owner of the house is a friend of mine. She's also a stylist. We've worked together and we've hired her house out. So, yeah.
This is not a serious comment. How much do you get paid for that? Do you know what I mean? Like if Channel 10 go, we need it for 6 months, you're like, I'm going to Vanuatu. And that will just pay us.
They pay pretty well. Yeah. Pretty much. They relocate her, obviously. They remove all of her belongings and completely fitted out with Nina's belongings. So it's pretty cool to see.
Deal. Might be why Channel 10's going bust.
Yes. So true. Find one house, Channel 10.
You can lease your house. You can put your house on a list.
That's great.
So then for commercial ads or TV shows, they can go and use your house.
Can you?
Yes. But
back in the day, it was the Secret Life of Us house at St Kilda. Everyone used to talk about that block of units down there, and everyone, I don't know if people had to get pushed out of there.
13, 10, 60. Who's living in that apartment right now? Yeah, but Secret Life of Us apartment.
Don't you reckon, even from being on Neighbours, I know from up in Middle Bogan, you know when you're in someone's house, you just look at everything.
Everything.
I don't know if I ever want to put my house out, because you just look through the wardrobe. And why would you wear that?
Brad in Narre Warren. Hi, Brad.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, Brad. Whose house are you living in?
I'm living in Feb's house.
Oh,
you're living in my house, my old house in Narre Warren.
Yes, mate.
Birch Court.
Still there, mate.
That's a great
You're
pad.
In his house. Hey, Brad, is the swimming pool still there?
No, the pool. It's been better days. The pool had to go.
Oh, no.
I put that pool up. It took me 3 years.
Brad, are there any signs of Brendan that are still in the house?
Yeah, some of the painting, I think.
Wow. I was in the front room towards the left near number 2. So that's where Numo lived.
Ooh, yeah, that's
geez, had some good times in there.
Right. That's a really
playing
cool.
Footy. Oh, yeah.
With my socks. Thanks for cleaning that up. Oh, God. What just happened?
Brad, I feel like there's so much we could discuss here, but I feel like we're reconnecting, Fev, with your house.
Mm. Well, hang on a second.
A lot of memories.
Was that the pitch? Like, Brad, I want to know, did they go, this is Fev's old house? Ipso facto, rent's gone up by $150 a week. Like, is that the sale?
No, because I bought it. He hadn't even been drafted.
Oh, you've had it a long time.
Yeah, just getting drafted.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, so the property value's obviously increased. So, I mean, the Coleman Medal would have added an extra 20 to it.
We got Foxtel and a former Coleman Medalist that's been in here.
Thanks, Brad.
Luke from Narre Warren. Hi, Luke.
How you going?
Luke, whose house are you living in?
I actually live in Fev's house as well. My dad was just on the line before.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Okay, Melbourne, the adventures of Peter Pan and Tinkerbell return to Panto Land. Are playing at the Comedy Theatre until July 30. You can get your tickets at ticketmaster.com.au. I'm saying all this because not only is it a wonderful production to get along to, but also we have an extraordinary talent in the studio. You looked at me as if you aren't, but you are. You are extraordinary, Bonnie Lithgow. You are a dancer. You are a producer. You have dominated the stages of the world. You were the most popular member of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here 2016.
Yeah.
Welcome to the studio. You're producing this wonderful production at the Comedy Theatre. We, as a delightful treat, have you in the studio with your ex-comrade, Brendan Favola.
Yay! Oh, it's wonderful to be here, except it's some goddamn early morning call. But I love it.
I was saying this to Fev before you got here. What was great about you in the jungle, Bonnie? Because you were clearly out of your element, as Fev said.
She didn't know what camping was. Yeah. I didn't know what a sleeping bag was. You should have seen her try to unzip the thing.
Brought your Versace pillows to the jungle. But you embraced it and you went with it, Bonnie. You weren't whinging and moaning. Lorena
well.
I'm not sure what they showed on TV.
Okay, you had a good editor. Great. No.
I've got to tell you, I never, ever, ever thought I would do it because I don't know about you, Feb, but I had that contract in front of me for about 2 months saying, I'm never going to do it, I'm never going to do it. And then eventually I woke up one morning and thought, I can do this. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone. I'm going to be in the jungle in South Africa. It'll be easy. Not. The first thing I did was out that helicopter. I did 10,000 feet out of a helicopter.
Yeah, you jumped out of a helicopter.
Mind you, I'm not sure if that was easier than what you did. Yours was tough too.
Yeah, mine was tough. Well, I had the contract in front of me for about a minute because I didn't have a job, so I signed it pretty quick.
Or Uber driver?
I'm making Subway rolls at Subway, eat fresh. My first challenge, you guys jumped out of a plane, which I probably don't know if I'll be able to do that. I went down the rapids with Val, and Val kept falling off, and that was tough.
No, I'm sorry, watched it. I'm sorry, you went down the rapids in a canoe. Bonnie jumped out of a helicopter.
Mine was easy.
Yeah, yours was really easy.
Mine was easy.
I mean, I think the worst thing was nobody knew we were going to go so high. It was like 5,000 feet. I'm going, okay, where are we going next? Oh, 10,000 feet. Oh, that's just fine. Let's go 10,000 feet. And then there was a couple of them that came up before me. I think, I can't remember who it was now, but there was two of them that came up before me. And they were screaming. I know Courtney came out before
Anthony
me.
Anthony was crying.
Oh, Anthony was crying. I'm in the middle of all five of them thinking, I'm not going to do it. And the worst part is they then opened the helicopter door and then everything, oh, Chief went first.
The Chief.
Because everything wobbled like this on the plane. So I thought, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I just thought, I could kill myself here. It is just ridiculous. But then something happened and I just got this wonderful, amazing courage to say, you can do it. So it was 1 foot out, 2 feet out, help, boing. That was it. I mean, it was, gosh, it was scary.
And I'm not just saying this because Bond's here, but you know, if you're in one of those shows, you get really close. You become sort of a family because you're living in each other's pockets 24/7 for a certain period of time. And when people leave, you're like, oh, yeah, thank God that person's gone. But when Bonnie left, there was such a big hole because all us boys used to sit there and watch Bonnie all day. It was like a TV show.
Yeah.
She turned down her bed.
Every night.
So we're on a mash blanket, you know, the mash beds that used to have, the old hospital beds, with a sleeping bag. And she used to turn it down and put a pillow, and then she'd take all her vitamins and she'd be like, oh, this one now. And she'd go, boys, have I taken this one yet? I'd go for an hour. She'd brush her teeth. Have I brushed my teeth? And then Val would turn around and go, someone stole my knickers. And then Bonnie turned around and goes, well, no, they wouldn't fit anyone. She'd stolen them.
I couldn't believe them on. I couldn't believe I'd stolen them. They were on this kind of washing line that was a bit of stick. And somebody called me. So I thought, oh, I grabbed my knickers, put them on. I thought, God, I'm losing so much weight.
Now, Bonnie, from the jungle to Neverland, let's talk Peter Pan, because not only have you come in here to catch up and we love seeing you, but you have a bit of an announcement to make about the production.
I do, actually. This is the most amazing show for me, and I have a brilliant cast, but I also have something else to tell you.
Oh, dear.
Every now and again, we take a celebrity into our cast, and on Friday night at 7 o'clock, it's going to be Favola.
Brendan Favola's going to be in Peter Pan?
He's going to be one of my pirates in Peter Pan. I've got...
Fev, have you got the right guy?
Well, I thought about him being Tinkerbell. But then I thought he'd be better off as a pirate.
Bonnie, are we doing rehearsals? Is he going to be stepped... Yeah, good, good. Good to know.
In my hand, I have my script. I'm going to give it to him. So he's going to learn two comedy bits. Oh, I like this. Yeah, he's a sailor. No, he's a pirate.
Because, I mean, we've got Todd McKenny, one of the finest musical actors in the country, and Brendan Favola. This is...
Well, I've got a lot of strings to the bow. Boxy, I'm an actor, I'm a footballer, I'm a radio host.
You had one line in Neighbours.
I was on there. I'm an author. And now I'm going to be in a play.
Yes.
Stay.
This is huge. So this Friday, 7 p.m. you can see 7 p.m.
at the Comedy Theatre. We're going to have him in a rehearsal just a couple of hours beforehand.
Oh. He's got I was going to say, watch him get out of that meeting.
He's got a few lines to learn. We do this great thing called 12 Days of Sailing. And each pirate has his own line, and he's going to be number 3, number 7, and number 11.
Ooh.
And he's going to learn these lines. And then the other one's a comedy one where they've got all these mops.
Hang on, let's roll up a little bit there. So 3, 7 and 11, and I've got to speak in all of them?
Yeah, you've got to do, it's kind of, you know, 12 days of, you know, 12 days of Christmas.
Yes.
It's like, well, on the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 screaming kids and a bra that was meant to fit 3. So it's a funny mixed up one here.
You got a lot of lines, mate.
Wow, geez. Do you want me to read one out?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Okay,
you're number 3.
On the third day of sailing, my true love gave to me 3 screaming kids, 2 pirate flags, and a bra that was meant to fit there.
Oh,
Yeah, okay. And that's why you know he's got the job.
Yeah.
Okay, just want to let people know, no refunds on the tickets. If you've got them, you are going.
Actually, just a quick one. I've got a luncheon on Friday that starts at 12:30 and finishes at 5.
Okay. Whoa, that pirate's going to be full of rum. All right, so make sure you get along to The Adventures of Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. Return to Pantoland. It plays at the Comedy Theatre until July 30. Tickets at ticketmaster.com.au. And, of course, Friday, Saturday night for the Fev cameo. That's a one night only performance. Hey,
number
Bonnie.
Seven. There's no chance I'm going to remember all that.
He's
just 85.
He's already trying to get out of it.
Good luck with that. I'll let you research it. Bonnie, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Bon Bon.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Speaking of performances, we all know Splendour in the Grass happened over the weekend. You would have seen it all over social media.
You wouldn't have known. We all do, but Leon doesn't. He doesn't remember what happened on that weekend, do you, champ?
Well, we know personally because our executive producer was there.
He failed to turn up
yesterday,
didn't he?
He was in Glastonbury. He was at Splendour in the Grass. He's yet to do this job yet, but he's doing lots of festivals.
What's next, I wonder? Is it going to be here this week?
Coachella? Where is he off to? So, but this is
and then a colostomy bag because he would have ruined his insides. Sure.
So people, Bernard Fanning was, of course, playing at Splendour in the Grass and people are all talking about the Powderfinger reunion because all the boys got up and played. Or did they? Cogsy, the drummer, John Coghill, we know him as Cogsy.
Yeah, Cogsy, good bloke, Cogsy.
Finger on the pulse, Cogsy.
He got a text. He got a text from someone saying, or a tweet saying, "Hey, so good to see you on stage and Powderfinger back together." And he went, "No, I was not there." And now he's since found out that all the other members got up on stage with Bernard in what looked like a planned reunion that he wasn't necessarily part of. Now, he has come out.
Were they all there and they just got up? Or?
Well, we don't. Yeah, look, let's go with Bernard's official line. Bernard has said it was just a last-minute thing. It was last-minute. Everyone up on stage.
No, Cogsy. I'm 10 years away from everything. You don't just go, I reckon we'll work well together. Just give it a crack in front of 10,000 people. Like, you've rehearsed.
Cogsy has come out and said, he's putting his hands in the air going, look, I have no idea. If I've been snubbed by my former teammates, he said, look, it might be driven by bad blood or it might be an innocent mistake.
Sure.
And I love this because, I don't know, have we all been there where you're not sure whether or not you're being left out? And 131060, as a little bit of a community service by us, if you think you might be being left out of something or have been left out of something, we'll crack the case.
Okay.
We'll try and figure it out for you. Because this is what happened to me. I had a girlfriend of mine had her 40th. And
is that the one you didn't go to?
No, that was my cousin and I didn't mean not to go. Anyway, I noticed on Facebook one of my girlfriends had her 40th and I saw photos that she'd had a party. And I went, well, it's interesting because I didn't get invited. So then I tried to crack the case myself. So I'm going through all the all the pictures from her party and I'm trying to figure out, are there any other friends from our social group? Because maybe it was one of those exclusive 40ths where you just ask a handful of friends. But then I got so into it. I'm like, I think I'm being snubbed. That then I went on to other friends of mine's Facebook pages to see if they had uploaded photos from that weekend, trying to get to the bottom of. Now, I don't know where I ended up. About half of my friends from the friendship group were there, and I was one of the ones that wasn't.
Well, what could be a possible explanation for you not being invited?
Completely forgotten. Assumed I was too busy. I mean, there are lots of reasons why I wasn't invited to that party.
Hold on a second. From a woman who never looks at her email, I'm very sure there was a litany of invites that you were like, I don't know.
And that's good. That's a relief, Fee, for that's
You're
probably
right.
what happened.
I'm going to assume I was sent an email that I never saw or I was just overlooked. And I bet she's kicking herself. I bet she's thinking that party wasn't the same.
Or you just play the card that I've played, or a friend of mine played, where, no, it was me. So I couldn't think of a made-up story, so I'm going to say this was actually me. Yeah.
Never work for ASIO. Continue.
Who are they? So didn't get invited to a teammate from Yarrawonga's wedding.
Yeah.
And Schnooksy's like, oh, why didn't you get invited? Because you probably should have gone, talk about him all the time. We hang out.
Mm.
And I said, oh, because it was just a plus one. It was just me, not a plus one. So you didn't get invited. So I'm not going to go without you. I come out smelling like roses.
But you didn't get invited?
No.
Do you know why?
I don't know. Didn't worry about it. I come out smelling like roses. Alex thinks I didn't go because of her. The best.
131060. Do you suspect you've been left out of something?
So here we go.
We'll let you know. Yeah. We'll decipher all the facts and we'll say, no, you've been snubbed or maybe you haven't.
My story had no relevance.
As usual.
Oh, but it was. I needed to say because we're talking about weddings.
Fifi, Dave,
Fev and Byron.
Powderfinger had a somewhat spontaneous reunion at Splendour in the Grass and some are suggesting maybe it was planned, but Cogsy, the drummer, knew nothing of it. Oh. Just sitting at home and got some texts and tweets going, why aren't you there? And he's not sure if he's been snubbed. He's not sure if it was an oversight. And we said, 131060, call us if you suspect you're being left out of something. We'll try to, you know, crack the code for you. We'll try and nut it out. Georgia in officer. Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Georgia, what do you suspect you're being left out of?
It was about 3 years ago, and me and my brothers, like, we'd noticed my dad gone on a holiday, and we sort of saw a couple photos. It looked like they were having a party just because they invited their closest friends overseas. But, yeah, they looked like they were having a bit of a party. So when he got back, we sort of said, oh, you know, like, had a bit of a party over there. And he goes, oh, yeah, we actually decided to get married. And
come on.
So I was like, oh, really? Like, he goes, yeah, the kids didn't come. And I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I noticed, like, you know, Keely and Jacko in the photos, which is her kids. And we were quite young at the time. I was, like, under 18. My little brother was 3 years younger, and I have an older brother as well. And we were all sort of left out.
So you're suggesting that your dad might have planned a wedding with his stepkids there and didn't invite you?
Yeah, well, it was sort of like he tried to make it like it was last minute. But then when I was like, oh, where'd you get your dress, Jodie? Because we saw photos after.
Ah,
and she bought it in Melbourne. So it takes a while to get a dress that's going to fit you.
Georgia, I hear you. I think we all hear you. But for the sake of family harmony and Christmas lunches, of course you weren't left out.
Nah, I mean, definitely.
You can't think anything else.
Georgia, Georgia, you're left out.
Oh, Brendan.
I was going to say, Foxy, have you just dug more manure on the manure pile? Is that what happened?
I'm trying to make everything okay in Georgia's family.
We'll leave that with you to ponder.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
This is about soccer, and I know that you attend Lulu's soccer games for the Hampton Rovers.
1-8-0 on the weekend.
Well, how's this on the weekend? A game between Point Cook and Keilor Park, under-16s. It was at the Keilor Park Recreation Reserve on Sunday afternoon. A bit of an altercation took place in the crowd between some parents, and isn't that just icky, like yuck. When there's fights, when parents have fights in front of children and it escalates, and I hope over time, I feel like when we were kids, it was sort of run rife. And now it's great that it gets picked up by the media and these people get, you know, condemned or somehow that there's retribution that's sought from the police, hopefully.
But I find it, because I obviously go to my kids' sport, if you're very vocal, or well, the other side is, it's like the parents on your side try to up them. With the vote being vocal, they go, come on, come on. And we're going, come on.
Yeah.
And then it does.
Well, you can see how emotion gets involved. And there's you love your kid. And if you think they're somehow being, you know, picked on or the other team's going for them, I can see how emotions escalate. But this escalated so much between two bystanders, two parents in the crowd, that one of them pulled a knife.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, they had a fight, and one of the parents pulled a knife on another spectator. Now, again, it's junior soccer. It's supposed to be a bit of fun.
Oh,
kids are out there getting involved, which is the whole purpose of sport.
Let's just peel the and peel a knife back a little pulled. Bit. Who brings a knife to a soccer game?
Well, well, it's Crocodile Dundee's kid.
Paul Hogan Jr.
That's not a knife.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know who carries knives or weapons for that matter. You know, you often hear stories, you know, in the city or wherever, and somebody pulls a knife. And obviously not a gun, because that's illegal here. You can't just carry guns unless you're licensed.
Oh, nice. But can you carry knives?
No,
I wouldn't have thought so.
It's not encouraged. What stops someone to put a bread knife in their pocket or one of those Swiss Army knives? 131060, do you carry a weapon? And because maybe there are people that are using them in not to be vigilantes necessarily, but to have it for their own self-defense. Or have you had a weapon pulled on you? Like, it's just when you hear stories like this, and then occasionally on the 6 o'clock news, you hear about people being threatened with weapons. And then with the atmosphere that it is at the moment in 2017, with people frightened and scared and never sure, you know, always on the back foot and wondering what's about to happen when they go to events or out in public, are we now arming ourselves? 131060. You know, share your thoughts. Are you carrying a weapon, or have you had somebody pull a weapon on you?
Yeah, I think you can't really condone it, but people might just carry it for safety.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, there was an altercation on Sunday night in the city somewhere where someone pulled a knife and stabbed someone in the chest.
See that? I mean,
which is, there was a fight in a taxi line.
And I think the argument there was from the father of the victim, who's just rolling on a Sunday night with a knife?
That's what I mean.
Who's rolling to their kid's soccer game?
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Who is carrying knives and weapons? And it'd be great to just test the pulse of Melbourne and see how many people have been threatened with weapons. Or are you carrying one?
And I know of people, females, that at night time maybe put bats and stuff in their car.
Yes.
Just for safety.
Or the old spray.
Mace.
Yeah.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about a junior soccer match at Keilor Park on the weekend, Sunday afternoon. Keilor Park, under-16s playing Point Cook. A couple of parents in the crowd had a bit of a fight. There was a bit of an altercation and one of the parents pulled a knife. Amazing. Now, you just don't expect that. And I guess we're asking the question, do you carry a weapon? Have you? And is it because of the climate we're living in, where we are living in fear more so than we were 15, 20 years ago? So do people have knives on them? Have you had a knife pulled on you? Shay from Carrum Downs. Hi, Shay.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, Shay. Shay, are you carrying a weapon?
I'm not, but my brother is. He was king hit about a year ago coming home from a friend's party. It was only about a 5-minute walk. He was king hit and had things stolen from him. So he now carries a weapon because he just doesn't feel safe.
Because that's the interesting thing, Shay, and I hear more and more of this, people going into the city at night just have something on them in case. But then I guess if that person who's carrying it as an in case I get into a fight, I've got a weapon, what if that person just gets angry, gets a bit of road rage, and then, like this happens at a football game, pulls out a knife? I mean...
Yeah, you've upped it to a point where it didn't need to get to that point, but you're now... I'm trying to think of a phrase other than trigger happy because it's a knife, but do you know what I
mean? You've got it in your pocket. And I think it's important to point out it is illegal to carry a weapon in Australia. So even though you're doing it for self-defence.
It just says a lot about the world we live in.
Well, it does. People
this day and age.
People are on the gun shy, on the back foot.
Shay's brother's been assaulted and got stuff stolen, so he actually probably can't go out without having a little bit of protection.
But is that fight culture? I mean, that fight culture is not new. I mean, don't we all have stories from our old man? Who, oh, yeah, we got into a fight here and a fight there. I mean,
but it was fights. And then you'd hear about, I reckon 10 years ago was sort of the start of gangs with knives. You'd go in the city and gangs would,
I was in a bikie gang.
What were
you? BMX. We called the BMX Bandits. That's, we were.
A bit different.
You didn't care.
Brown Street Boys?
No, we had those big orange helmets on.
Stack hats.
Yeah, the big stack hats. Yeah, they're the best.
Claudia in Sydenham. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Claudia. We're asking the question this morning. Do you carry a weapon?
Yeah, actually, I have to carry a small knife around with me just to feel safe. I work in retail and we close late and we have to park all the way at the end of the car park when we close. So I have to walk there by myself half the time and it's quite scary having to do that. So I feel a little bit safer having a little knife in my bag.
Do you have it handy? Like, do you have it out when you're about to do that late night walk?
No, it's in my bag. I've never had to use it, thank God, but it's just kind of a safety blanket, I guess.
See, I'd put that on where she works. Like if I had a business and I had females working late, I'd have a security guard walk them to the car.
It's a duty of care.
A duty of care and pay for that. So my staff didn't feel inferior.
It is weird that she's walking in the car alone. That's not cool.
I mean, is
I'd
there
be
not,
scared if I was it, walking to a car.
I mean, and you can understand Claudia's reality. Are there not sort of sprays that are legal? Would the police recommend a certain defence mechanism that's not a knife, obviously, which is illegal?
When I used to work on a radio show in Sydney, I was the phone operator, and I was getting in at like 4 o'clock to do the phones, and so I didn't have a fancy staff car park or anything, and I was having to walk a long way. And I was like 22 at the time and it was 4 a.m. in the morning and I got from one of those shops, it's a buzzer.
Right.
So it's a thing you press and it sets off an alarm. So you can get one of those.
Yeah.
It's not even a mace. I was investigating mace, but then I actually thought at the time, I don't trust myself with this. Because what if I'm just getting my keys out of my bag and then I spray myself in the face?
Oh, you go to do-do and go, oh, no, security stand up.
Leah in King Lake. Hi, Leah.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Are you carrying a weapon?
No, I don't, but someone I knew used to.
Yeah.
My nana used to carry a steak knife in her handbag. And the purpose for that was purely to cut off the stalks of the broccoli in the supermarket because that was the heavy part of the broccoli and she refused to pay for it.
Oh, my God. So, wow.
And also she used to take cuttings out of people's gardens with it. So,
just walking along.
With a steak knife, not a pair of
steak knife, just a normal everyday steak knife. She'd get caught with it.
shiving a rose bush.
Broccoli's $3.99 a kilo. Cut the stalk off.
Let's be honest.
You get two for one.
That stalk is heavy, though, isn't it?
It's heavy.
And no one's eating that.
You don't use it.
And that stalk was asking for. Right.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Splendour in the Grass is over. So many Victorians have ventured up to Byron Bay. Great music. Great, watching it all on social media. Leon, our executive producer, was there. Not at work, which was, I don't know, that's an issue for another show
mentally. Mentally, I think he's still there.
But
yeah, he's here in body. But.
Who could forget about a month before Splendour, we had Peking Duck in the studio. Oh. And we the boys.
Love that new jam, Fake Magic.
They have this great thing at music festivals where before they perform, they get a big celebrity to endorse their show by doing a bit of a welcome. They've had Warney, David Hasselhoff, and Fev, you brilliantly offered your services. You said, hey guys, I'm happy to help. You recorded something for them to use over the weekend at Splendour in the Grass.
No, it wasn't for Splendour.
Wasn't it for Splendour specifically?
I don't think it was.
Oh, I thought we just said, feel free to use this at Splendour.
That may have been said.
So,
that's the best you're going to get. King of the Jungle.
Oh,
like,
King
that's
of,
royalty. You're going to top
Melbourne?
That?
King of Melbourne? King. Everybody loves Fev. Mm. And you executed this beautifully.
Okay, guys, it's Fev here on stage. Everyone's here. Who are they here to see? Obviously not me. Peking Duck, everyone! Woo! Ruben Adam, everyone up and about!
Oh, now I'm up and about.
Now I know why they didn't use
it. So there they were at Splendour on the weekend about to go on stage and they played this.
My name's Dale Kerrigan. Apart from Peter Andre, this is my favourite band. How's the serenity here at Splendour? Even though they've confiscated your jousting sticks. The Peking Duck boys are side of stage, ready to get giddy, so make some noise. Peking Duck!
Mine was heaps better.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
American singer Lana Del Rey has admitted to turning to witchcraft to put a hex on Donald Trump. Mm. It's extreme. Now, this isn't a lie. She's tried witchcraft and she's attempting to take down the leader of the free world with it. And to talk about it, we, as you know, have access to POTUS himself, President Amazing. Trump. Mr. Trump, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, who's Lana Del Rey? Is she a Muslim? And can I ban her from America?
Whoa.
Mr. President, we thought you might be sensitive about this, but no, seriously, you don't believe in witchcraft, do you? You're not that worried.
Well, of course I believe in a higher being, someone who's always watching us, that's for certain.
So you believe in God?
Oh no, I'm referring to Vladimir Putin. That guy always knows what's going on. Believe you me, he's probably listening right now.
Well, Lana tweeted that thanks to the alignment of the moon and the dates, a hex could be put on you. The dates were, Feb 24, March 26th, April 24th and May 23rd. So do any of these dates ring a bell?
I mean, sure. Have you seen my presidency? I got so many freaking problems. If I was a racehorse, I'd be put down by now.
Mr. President, that was quite self-aware of you.
Oh, God, I know. What the hell is happening? What's this spell I'm under? What is going on?
Well, maybe her hex worked. I mean, maybe you're getting some perspective.
Oh, God. I think we should be kind and tolerant to our fellow man because it is only compassion that will truly bring peace in our time.
Oh.
I mean, Mr. President, you may be under a spell, but, I mean, you've never sounded more like a president before.
Gotcha. I don't believe in that hippie crap. I don't believe in anything I just said. Hex don't work on me because I don't have a soul. I sold it to the devil years ago.
To become president.
No. I sold it to him so I could complete Tetris on my Game Boy. Those things were freaking hard. Wow, to become president, I just promised the devil he could have one of my children, and I think I will give him one of the girls, you know, the not hot one.
All right, that's enough. Your time is up on the show there, Mr. President. Thanks so much for joining us. He's hung up. We are out of here.
That Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up was delivered directly to your ears, valet style. Next time you fly, you can upgrade to valet parking as well for only $20 when you book online and park before 12 September in the at terminal T1, T2, T3 car park. MelbourneAirport.com.au.